All right, let's. It's like there's a death pallor in here. What the hell's going on?
I feel great.
It's because you walked.
Yeah.
I walked. Princess and I walked.
I think it's Ken.
Yeah.
Something's going on. I'm not going to start talking until you start talking.
No, we're not going to talk until you talk.
Harry?
I'm just here.
You're just here?
He was up for a quarter of
the night. I was up all night. Nothing wrong with me. Well, nothing. You don't already know about it.
Okay, can no matter what it is, whatever is something, can you everybody leave whatever it is outside the door? All right. Let's see if we can understand this thing about the gift of the Spirit called word of knowledge. First Corinthians 12. There is one overriding word of knowledge that without it, there is nothing else. And let me just speak from my own experience a minute. When I had what's called a conversion experience, and it was dramatic and wild and everything, but the point of it was the word of knowledge, if you will, that came with it, was that I could the dominant thing was that I could never again do anything to help myself. Now, that had to have another predicate, because to do nothing to help yourself means that there has to be some other agency, some other being, if you will, that is will be concerned with survival, unless he wanted me to die instantly. And so from the very, very beginning, from the first, I knew that it was Jesus Christ in me. I mean, that was everything. That was the mystery that has been hid from all ages, is what Paul says. It's Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. And everything I studied in the Scriptures when I first started studying only emphasized it. Whether I studied in Isaiah, or whether I studied in Ephesians, or Romans, or Corinthians, or even in Revelation, it only emphasized this mystery that has been hid from the... Let's go there. Go to Colossians chapter something or other. Take a right. General Electric Power Company. Persons, it's you guys got to start knowing that. Colossians chapter 1. General, it's 1st and 2nd Corinthians, then General, Galatians, Electric, Ephesians, Power, Philippians, Company, Colossians. Okay, General Electric, Power, Company. You got it now? All right.
I'm going to buy you a t-shirt.
What? I'm going to buy you a t-shirt. In chapter 1, verse 24, he's talking about the revelation of Christ. But then he says, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up or fulfill that which is lacking of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Everything, the integrity of God, the fulfillment of the law, the fulfillment of the prophets, the fulfillment of the writings, everything is dependent on that singular phrase, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is the singular word of knowledge, and without that knowledge, nothing else can manifest. In other words, without that as the predominant knowledge, the predominant word of knowledge in your life, you cannot repent. You can say, I'm sorry, I don't want to do that anymore, but you cannot repent. You cannot leave yourself behind because there's no self left. Everything about your life will be of Babylon without the knowledge that Jesus Christ is in you and He is your life. There will be nothing else. You might as well just take a gun and shoot yourself because you would never have known that mystery until you had seen the futility and emptiness of human endeavor, including your own. And if you see the futility and emptiness and nothingness of human effort without seeing Christ is in you, you might as well commit suicide, unless you want to continue living a lie. Does everybody see that? This is why the cross is the central point of your life. Not preaching about something that happened 2,000 years ago, but the cross as applied to you, that you are the one that died on the cross. Now, you're not your own business anymore. Nothing about you is your own business. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I started out being justified by faith in, but now I live by faith of. Now, Everything that we're about is dependent on that. And yet I see daily everybody taking the life back into their own hands. And they have a problem, or they're dealing with something, or something's going on with them. And it's like, where? What happened? What happened since the morning Bible study? Now, either you don't believe it, or the Antichrist has such a hold on your mind that there is no hope, or you don't know that Jesus Christ is in you and therefore you're reprobate. There can't be that many options. You're still concerned with self-realization. You're concerned with your goals and your retirement program, and you're this and you're that and you're this and you're that. So it's useless to talk about the gifts of the Spirit unless that is the dominant theme of your life. You're reconciled to God by the death of His Son, but you're saved by the life of His Son. Now, I recognize, and this used to make me crazy until I recognized this thing about the three things, the three ways that God had made, the graces that God had given for us to be able to see God. You can't see God and live. That's the first predicate. And then He gave us three graces so He could kill us. The grace of Abraham is the one that says, I don't want to do that anymore. It took Abraham 100 years. The grace of Jacob is the grace of the fight until he finally admits, I am the snake. And the grace of Isaac, which is instant revelation, but then you're gone instantly. Now, all those graces according to the ancient guys, each one of us has all those graces, but one of them is dominant. And so, from my perspective, it just seems fruitless to talk about the gifts of the Spirit unless the cross has intervened first. What? Does everybody hear me? Is there any part of this that you don't understand?
They're saying we're not worthy? Something?
You don't want to go there. Is there any part of this that isn't something that you have apprehended? Is there... I can't understand. I can't conceive of how you can still give your thoughts and your ideas and your mind any importance whatsoever. They're just a bunch of vacant voices. And yet, you know, I can see it in your countenances every day that you're following those voices. I can see it in how you respond to each other. You're following these voices. Why? Is it because there isn't enough exhortation among the brethren? I mean, do you see it happening and you don't say something? I have an excuse. I'm in bed all day. And I still see it. Is it because the preaching isn't hard enough? Does anybody have an answer? Or am I just talking? These aren't rhetorical questions.
I'll tell you what I was thinking about.
That'd be good for a change.
You want to know what I'm thinking about now? I drink two cups of coffee a day. And twice a day I do the same thing. I put too much coffee in the cup so that when I add the sugar and cream, the cup is too full and it falls over on the kitchen counter. And every time I do it, I say, that's absolutely ridiculous. Stop doing that. And the next time I do exactly the same thing. I know it's ridiculous, and I do it over and over and over. And it's because I want to get as much coffee in the cup as I possibly can. You know, there's something there that I want, that I'm trying to do, and it overrules some of the knowledge and the better judgment every time. Almost every time. And I've been marveling at the incredible foolishness of it.
Anybody else?
I was thinking about...
Go ahead.
It sounds like you're saying that there's no reason to go on to the gifts if the cross isn't still... there's still rebellion, there's still unrepentance.
Yeah, because the gifts of the Spirit aren't going to... They'll just be like everything else. You'll try to use it for yourself thing, you know, look at me, I'm spiritual or something. I mean, that's why the cross has to be the predicate. The mystery that has been hid from all ages and all generations has now been freely given to you, to us.
Oh, I was going to say something. I was thinking about all the times I've heard teaching about these gifts and how simple an idea it is to say, okay, word of knowledge, let's go back and look where the Bible talks about knowledge. You know, nobody did that. You know, in my past experience, it's like there's a preconceived idea of what it is, so you go from there and you get all these ideas about what it, you know, it's like,
well, let's look at another one.
Basic, just.
Let's go to another one. Ephesians 3.
Can I say something about that preconceived idea? All the time we've been talking about gifts, I think my model from childhood is there's a holiday and you get gifts that you keep for yourself. And all the setup for talking about the gifts is that, you know, it's not that.
Yeah, this is it's this incredible thing. It's like the mystery that has been hid from all ages. The reason it's been hid from all ages is because there's another being operating in all men, and that's the instead of Christ, the Antichrist. And so everything that you hear, everything you see, everything that happens, all your experiences are all filtered, that happen now, are all filtered through that template of your own Antichrist, your own private Idaho, or whatever that word thing was. I mean, it's your private little world of self. And so no matter what words are said, It's this filter that protects the evil one from ever manifesting and seeing the truth. But you know yourselves well enough. You know that you're a liar from the beginning. You know that you've never told the truth, because your idea of truth was based on these little teeny parameters. That you've never been honest, you've never been... I mean, it's just crazy. You just live in your own private little temple and define realities that suit you at that moment. And it doesn't matter that they're contradictory. You can hold about 26,000 contradictory opinions at the same time. That's the nature of the beast. So then you start getting religious, so then what you do is you start circumcising yourself. And you know, well, I can't do that, and I'm going to cut myself off from that, and I'm going to stop doing this, and I'm going to encircle this, and now I'm twice the child of hell, because now I've got all... Now I was originally a child of hell because I judged for myself good and evil. Now I'm twice the child of hell because I got all this religious BS that I've added to my template.
That to me speaks to the danger of not picking up the cross and entering into manifestation of gifts. But, I mean, gifts are given without repentance, so they can be used and abused. And if you see correctly, you don't want to be in a place where you're abusing the gifts, which you will automatically do.
Unless the cross isn't manifest. The whole idea of Paul, if you look at it consistently, is that there is he's taken us one from over here and one from over there, and us who were not a people are now a people, and there's a commonality that has nothing to do with male, female, bond or free, Jew or Greek. It's because we're a new creation. And then in chapter 3, then, he says, in the last verse of chapter 2, he said, "In whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, which I wrote, as I wrote before in a few words, whereby when you read my, you may understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ, the knowledge of the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister or a servant according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me whom am less than the least of all saints is the grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles this unreachable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers and heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. I mean, it's all... Obviously, if this mystery has been hid from all ages, then it can't be referenced by the wisdom of the ages. It can't be referenced by your own experience. It can only come at the complete and total presentation of yourself as a living sacrifice. And that means a living death. You have a sacrifice in the altar of God. There is no sacrifice that isn't killed. So when you say present yourself a living sacrifice, that means you are presented as this living sacrifice. And if you're presented as that sacrifice, you've accepted your death, and you've accepted the place of death, you've accepted the surroundings of the death, you've accepted the people of the death, you've accepted the timing of, and you've accepted that from that moment forward, any consultation with your mind or any importance of your emotions is sorcery and witchcraft. Because now you are complete in Him. By one offering, you've been perfected forever. Now you own all things. Now you cannot want. Am I communicating?
That's knowledge, right? Right. That's knowledge that goes into the core operating system. When the Antichrist, you know, comes, you have something to speak from, to know from.
Well, he has no power.
Yeah, you know to resist him.
He has no authority. He has no place. You owe your emotions and your mind nothing. This is why this word abstain, where it says abstain. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from youthful lusts. The youthful lusts aren't talking about playing tiddlywinks. They're talking about the human condition. Now, if you do not know that you know, if there is if onlys and what ifs, then you got to go take care of them. Because if those are held in reserve, then you haven't presented yourself as a living sacrifice. You're just another almost disciple, and you'll sneak away in the night. And almost disciples are really getting boring to me. If they're boring to me, can you imagine what they are to God?
Oh no, God so loves and He wants you to be fulfilled.
Well, yeah, that's true, but tell me how you're going to be fulfilled. What are you going to get? I know what I'll do. I'll get an education. Then you'll be an educated idiot. I know. I want to travel. Well, then you'll be a well-traveled idiot. I know. I want to go. Then you'll want to go, idiot. Whatever it is. There is no there there. But you don't know there's no there there. And that's what frustrates me. Anybody have any response? We can talk about the details of the word of knowledge, you know, for the next 3 days, and it'll go pachew, pachew, pachew. It'll just bounce off because there's no place for it to penetrate if you've not accepted your death.
thinking about the stress involved, you know, of not submitting, you know, just constant voices and constant following them and concern of them. And one time I remember you saying, when we think our vocal cords actually move and stuff, it's like we're actually, you know, responding and talking.
Except they move 100. The average speech is 130 words a minute. The your thought process is as high as 1,300 words a minute. And so, and you can measure. You can put the measuring devices on the larynx, and they're actually forming the words of your thoughts. But they're just crazy. They're just crazy. And why do you have any? Why? I mean, first of all, you would never even have come here if you didn't suspect that all this stuff was just idiotic and garbage. And I mean, right? Nobody was a fool enough. Maybe you came once, but nobody was a fool enough after you heard me speak once to come here to get anything. Right? I hope. This is a place to die. This is a place that you lose yourself. This is a place that there is a commonality, a community that understands, hopefully, first, the futility and emptiness of all human effort, especially human effort that's done in the name of God, and secondly, that people can talk to you and exhort you that you abandon yourself, that you pick up your cross, to let you know that you have nothing to worry about. This is an incredible thing, because, and the reason I know how incredible it is to have this a group of people is because for almost 5 years, I thought I was the only one in the world that saw this mystery, because I went everywhere trying to find a place where to touch. The only place it touched was the Scriptures. So, I mean, I believe me, I emotionally, and I know how incredibly fortunate we are to have a body of people who at least give breath to the cross and to the death of self. But I want you to go to the next level. I want you to be totally free. And I, you know, for very selfish reasons, I can't proceed any faster than the weakest member. It's like Israel. One guy hid some loot under his tent, and a plague came to all of Israel. One guy was messing with an Edomitish woman, and another plague came. And the hero of that particular episode was the guy named Phinehas, who took a sword and did rammed it through both their bodies, then ran through the camp. And wherever he ran through the camp, it stayed the plague. Well, that's just a story. No, it's not. This is the spiritual reality. That one person, that you infect everything. Not just here, you infect the entire... What your faith or lack of faith affects the entire spectrum of time and space. You believe that? You're just a poor little victim of the universe. I have to live in my little dreams, in my little thoughts, because there I'm a winner. There I'm victorious. There I have sex with anybody I want to. There I own all things and I can just do whatever I want to, right in my little mind.
You've offended Gary now.
Right, Gary?
I've heard it.
He He's all too familiar with that particular life.
Yeah. It's like one person
having to leave at this point.
One person affects everything in that way, and then like Phineas, one person's zeal responding at that, you know, that the moment it was.
Amen.
And then that changed everything too.
So what I want from you is zeal. Same thing I've wanted for the last 20 years. What? Any response? Any response you'd like to share with the class? No? I love John. Ronnie? Something's troubling you.
I don't know. I haven't been feeling well lately, so that's been kind of fun. You know, I don't know what it is. Like, I'm thinking, you know, did my kidneys, did my liver, or, you know, am I getting sick, or whatever. And I can't figure out until I go see my doctor.
So there's nothing you can do about it. So why give it any breath? Remember the trick? For me to live as Christ, to die as gain. Whatever that particular thought is. I haven't been feeling very well lately. Okay, change the subject of the sentence. Write it down. Christ hasn't been feeling very well lately. If you haven't been feeling very well lately, or if he hadn't been feeling very well lately, it's to fill up the affliction for the. That's what we just read. It has nothing to do with you. It's still for the body. You're never the subject of your sentence. If I didn't know that, I would have shot myself many years ago.
Many times.
Huh?
Many times.
Many times.
You know, that's really important. There's just certain thoughts, you know, that are tempting to hold on to. Like what John was saying Sunday, that God was trying to get him to claim something. Hold something. And I guess it's particularly tempting when it really involves you, you know, or something. It's, I don't know. I mean, I can even feel it sometimes. It's like, ooh, that, you know, I need to give that a little bit of thought there. And
that's a good one.
Yeah, that was something there.
Well, I'll tell you what, the way to test. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Believe me, I know. But there is no you anywhere in the scriptures. And either you live by your own mind, and you have to close this book. You have to throw that book away, or you have to pay attention to what your mind's telling you. There is no in between. You understand, Ronnie? Oh, but I like it when I think about me, even if it's negative stuff. This is why we had Alcoholics Anonymous and our NA meetings here for years. They met right here every night, or three nights a week, I think. And it was causing too much of a conflict in the people here because of the confession. I'm holy and I'm an alcoholic. Yeah, I'm holy and I'm alcoholic. I'm a drug addict. I'm every possible sin you can be. But for me to live as Christ, to die as gain, whatever is gain to me, even an identity, even the identity of an alcoholic, is a loss to Christ. I have suffered the loss of all things all aspects, all identifiers, all I, whatever I, I'm Norwegian, I'm tall, I'm short, I'm fat, I'm skinny, I'm
you know, this goes back to the March when I went out and screwed up. And so I'm thinking that because of that, that's why I'm having all these problems.
Well, I mean, there's a thing, there's a million things that can happen that'll cause you, you know, to it could be the big things or little things, but well, either there are no big things, there are no little things, they're the same things. Anything that puts your eyes on yourself, you know, has got to go to God, to go to death, go to the cross, go to the altar. You know, analyze it. You cannot analyze. Darkness isn't fixed by analyzing it. Oh, well, I'm just thinking about.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like, you know, I can't complain about it
because I'll make fun of you.
Well, not for most of that, but it's because, you know, well, you know, you did it, and, you know, you're responsible. So.
Forget that. What happened to you the other day? We had a little talk, and I said, God has wrought all your works in you from before you were born, from before you were a seed in your mother's womb. If you want to complain, if you want to say, God, you made a mistake, then start. That's what you have to do. Not that you made the mistake. God, you made a mistake. You made me like I am. God, you made a mistake, because I should be much nicer, and I shouldn't pick on Bojo and stuff. I should be much nicer, and I shouldn't certainly pick on somebody that's new. I should be much nicer, and I shouldn't pick on Michael Carlson, because he's such a nice guy. God wrought all your works in you. If he didn't, then you might as well just forget it.
And it's the same about the gifts of the Spirit as it is about our what is going on with us or anything like that. You know, it's not about us. And it's like we decide we really like that, you know, little Wilma-mobile out there, and we start, you know, we polish it up and we park it in our driveway, and we, you know, get mad when other people want to drive it. What's not ours? It belongs to us, yeah. Not me. You know, that's exactly the same way all these other things are.
That's, you know, right.
I want to worry about my little problem. What's not my problem?
And what you, but the thing that you got to do when, you, especially if you're around me very much, is you've got to find an ally. So if Harry can come to me and say, well, Carolyn thinks the same thing I do, then it's great. Praise God. Now he's mad at me because Carolyn, and he's got an agreement.
Now I got to cool with Carolyn.
No, but you, that's what the evil one does. He needs an ally.
The swing boat.
Yeah.
Carolyn just, I mean Harold. Harold, that's a combination. Harry, Carolyn. Harolyn. They've merged. Harolyn.
That's why they call it Harolyn.
And if you get Marilyn in there, then.
No, my God.
That'd be a real.
Please, I really want us to really study and really apprehend and really have the gifts of the Spirit in full operation. Because That's what his body does. It's not just an operation in a few of the elders. It's an operation in everyone. Take it, big guy.